Pastor Jeff with one of the keys to a successful and thriving marriage.
And remember the triangle. As we both, husband and wife, seek him, you'll take, I believe, the pressure off. Especially the wife putting pressure on the husband to be something that he's not. Do you know what that does to guys? You talk about frustration. No, let go. Let go of that. And let him know he's off the hook. And seek the Lord. And by doing that, you're going to bless him. And bring him into a whole nother area of just looking to the Lord too. And being blessed of God. Instead of always looking to each other and frustrating each other, there's something there. Once you go to him, you begin to enjoy your marriage.
Your spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
Pointing people to the way, the truth, and the life, this is Sound Doctrine. Thank you for joining us today. Pastor Jeff Johnson, our teacher, is in the early stages of his study in Genesis. In chapter 2, God institutes marriage, brings Eve to Adam. With this first marriage comes some incredible lessons for us today to take in and apply to our own lives and relationships. Here to point them out to us, our teacher and pastor now, once again, here's Pastor Jeff.
Genesis chapter 2 tonight. And remember, we split Genesis chapter 2 up because the first part was too much for us. No, it was great because what does he do? He does the kind of the wide angle in chapter 1 and he gives us the zoom in chapter 2. And so we zoomed in on paradise. We zoomed in on really what's coming up in Revelations 21 and 22. That's yet future, isn't it? And that's what we have to look forward to as we read the first part of chapter 2. Now, in chapter 1, verse 31, he talks about after he's created all these things that he has created to bless us. He says, and behold, it was very good. Everything was good. And so we left off in Genesis chapter 2 in verse 18. Now let's read that. And the Lord God said, it is not good. Uh-oh. First he says, it's all good. But now he's saying, not good. That the man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. As he looks at man, for him to be alone, he says, no, he needs a helpmeet. And he is revealing here that man is incomplete by himself. He needs a completion. Adam needed Eve. And that's what God is simply saying here. So God in his love establishes this incredible first marriage. He establishes the home. He establishes the first relationship. And remember, we're talking about a lot of first things here in Genesis. We're going to get a lot of them. This is the first relationship between a man and a woman. Jesus goes ahead and ratifies it in Matthew chapter 19 as he quotes these scriptures word for word. Adam needed a counterpart. He needed a complement. He needed a helpmeet to become one as a team. And I like this. Now, this is what God has laid out for marriage. When the man of the house, and my wife and I have been going through some changes. We've been trying to, upgrade our house a little bit, and we're doing a little painting, in fact, a whole bunch of painting. and the house is just turned upside down, okay? And there's a lot of decisions when you begin to mess around with anything physical. And there's a lot of color in this and that. Oh, my gosh, it's unbelievable. And we have found out that when the man of the house makes a male decision, it's not a marriage decision. At least, this is what I've been finding out. And I might add, it goes vice versa. So it is good to talk over things. It is good to discuss things, to pray about things, to get together. My wife is sort of my cruise control. She is my glory. If the man is the head of the home, which the Bible says it's true, then she is the crown to honor his head. Now, in 1 Peter, there's a little interesting thing. Just mark it down. I'll just read it to you. But Peter says this, "Likewise, you husbands," talking to the husbands, "dwell with your wives according to knowledge." In other words, you get to know them. "Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered." And I never want my prayers to be hindered. So I must dwell with my wife according to knowledge. I must minister to her as best as I can. Then there's another scripture in Ecclesiastes. In chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "For if one prevail against him, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." And him there is the enemy. So if one, who is a single person, can prevail against the enemy, two are going to withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So God has put this together. Marriage is like a triangle with the husband and the wife down at the bottom. And as they're going towards the peak, which is Jesus, as they're going towards Jesus, as they're looking towards the Lord, they're becoming closer and closer together. They're being just sucked right together to become one in Him. And it's a beautiful analogy to get us back on track if we're off track with our relationship. Now, in verse 18, the Lord said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet." And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see that he would, what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. So Adam used his, at this time, his complete brain. We use about, 3%? No, I'm just kidding. We don't use our total brain. At this time, he was connected, so to speak. They lived to be 900 years old, so you needed to have a brain to go with the age. Or you'd flip out, I think. It was a highly developed, highly advanced mind that man was using. Remember, 5,000 years ago was when they were embalming bodies, which they haven't yet figured out how they've done it. And how I could look at Ramses II in the face in Egypt and say, "Let my people go." No, I didn't say that to him, but he was looking at me. Ramses II. Think about it. It flips me out. Now, Sadat said, "You guys can't gawk and look at our ancestors like that anymore. We're going to take them and put them in a tomb, and you guys can't do this anymore." And so they stopped that, and so you can't see Ramses face to face anymore. But I got to be one of the last ones to see the face of Ramses. He didn't look very good. But man, the history. And how did you get this body right here, right now? And how did you build the pyramids? Still trying to figure it out. Unbelievable. Now, in verse 20, he continues on and he says, "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him." Interesting. He was naming them. And again, he's got this incredible mind. That looks like an elephant. But as far as a helpmate, that's a little large, you know. And he moved along, ostrich too skinny, giraffe weird looking, snake, I don't want to talk about it, I hate snakes. You know, and he named all the animals. Two by two, they went off, male and female. And Adam, when he got done with the whole procedure, you can imagine how long that took, he thought about it and he says, well, wait a minute, where's my mate? Everybody else is going two by two off, male and female. Hey, what about me? Because there was no mate for Adam. So God created man incomplete. And he lets him see his need. Because when he got done, he said, I didn't find a helpmate. Everybody else has got a mate. I don't have a mate. And I don't think at that time, before he knew this, he knew he was a bachelor. You know, he wouldn't call himself a bachelor because he didn't know. But then all of a sudden, at the end of it, he said, where is my mate? I also believe that he wanted Adam to really appreciate what he was about to do. Because God is going to do something just incredible. So God reveals his need not to frustrate Adam, but he reveals his need to fulfill Adam. God's not playing games with us, guys. He created us to bless us. He created us to fulfill in us his glory, that we would be a pleasure unto him. He created us to know him, to love him, to serve him. Verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh instead thereof. So from his side, he's going to make a bride. So Adam wasn't to panic. I mean, don't panic. Don't start beating the bushes and put on some of that musk and go out looking, because I'm on the prowl, striving to find your soulmate, because I just realized I need somebody. You know, I'm going to start going to some more parties. I think I'll go to the singles ministry. No, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the college and career, man. That's where it's at. That's my hunting ground now. It's amazing how many are looking. Is she it? Is he the one? And always looking, always on the prowl, always hunting and shaking the bushes, so to speak, trying to find that mate. So he's really saying to Adam, listen, Adam, don't freak out here. Don't panic. Just, I'm going to put you to sleep here. Just go to sleep. Just let go and let God be the matchmaker. Because if there was ever the greatest matchmaker, it's got to be our Father, which is in heaven. He knows what we need. He created us. He knows you. And he's the greatest matchmaker. Can you trust him? He said, chill. Don't do anything. Don't try to make it happen. If you try to make it happen, you could end up, going through the jungle looking for a mate, and all of a sudden come out of the jungle with orangutan or, some kind of ape. And I got one that looks a little bit like me. It's the best I could find, Wow, little hairy, isn't she? Yeah, but it's kind of like me. And many have done this. They went looking. The single search. And they ended up with an ape. Or something like it. And so the Lord says, no, listen, let go and let me do it. Trust me with this. This is a crucial decision. It is the second most important decision you'll ever make in all of your life. And I usually say this to those that are getting married here. Why? Because to share with those that are watching that there is a greater decision that needs to be made, and that is for the Lord Jesus Christ, to have peace with God and get God's direction for your mate. That's so needed. It's a crucial decision. Then God took one of his ribs, I like this, kind of under his arm to be protected by him, that place right here, next to his heart to be loved by him, and from his side that they too would walk side by side through life together. Join heirs with Christ Jesus to enjoy all that God has given. Now remember, they pierced Jesus' side when he was on the cross, didn't they? And that's interesting. From the side, between his ribs, where they shoved the spear in, came out water and blood. And because of what he did on that cross, he purchased, or the bride was brought forth. And that's us. So it's a similar situation. But what another thing here is that, hey, man is missing something here. God took out of man a rib. So, wives, your husbands aren't all there. They are missing something. And you say, well, that's why he's a little weird. He's a little quirky about some things. He's missing a rib. So it's given to the wife, so she must be his completion. He kind of gets the rib back in a way. You see, and what happened here is that man lost something when he lost his rib. And I believe he lost emotion. And I believe that not only did he lose emotion, the woman actually became the sensitive one, and he became, whatever, logical, steady, stabilized somewhat. You know, he's like a Mack truck, And the woman is like a Miata, making different turns and different speeds and different ways. And they're just different, aren't they? You know, they're just discovering this, that men are from Mars, women are from Venus or something like that, you know. It's amazing. Oh, you're just finding out men are different than women. Wow. They've always been very different. And they're both missing pieces. Now, women are always turned on to God very easily. Women are sensitive. So women are the worshipers. Women are the ones that really love spiritual things and to get close to the Lord. Without women, guys, this would be a boring place, especially during worship. It would be weird. But oh, women's voices and the women's love and their sensitivity to the things of the Lord. But along with being sensitive, they are also, that brings a weak point to them, because you see, they're sensitive in spiritual things. Now, us men, we got to really work at it. You know, get close to God, my Father. Hey, I wasn't close to my own dad, you know. And get close to God, my Father. Well, you know. And it takes a lot of work for us guys. Women, they just get right into the routine. They just fit right in and they go for it. Again, there's a danger here, though, because remember, Satan came to the woman and didn't say, hey, you want to see some porn? Or do you want to snort this cocaine? You know, the woman would go, get out of town, man. No, he came with what he knew she needed and wanted. Do you want to be like God? Then partake of this fruit. Now, men, again, you go back, they're a little bit more stable on those things. So there's a need for each one. We need each other in a very beautiful way that God has put us together. Now, I believe that we will never, ever find fulfillment in each other because we are not all there. In other words, if you're looking for fulfillment in your husband, or you're looking for fulfillment in your wife, you will never, ever find fulfillment within each other. It is simply not there. And oh man, but I think he needs to go to another seminar, and he needs to hear about, you know, this and that. And well, men will try to work on it, and they'll fake it. We're good at that. But I mean, as far as really getting into it and being fulfilled by the other, forget it. The only one that can fulfill, the only man that there is that can meet our needs is who? Jesus. Why? Because he didn't get his rib ripped off. He had it all. When you think about it, he was born differently than we were, wasn't he? It was a whole completely different thing. Jesus is the one that fulfills us. He's the last Adam. He's not missing a thing. And he will always listen. He will always be your all in all. And he will fill you and he will bless you because that's why he's here. And remember the triangle. As we both, husband and wife, seek him, you'll take, I believe, the pressure off, especially the wife putting pressure on the husband to be something that he's not. Do you know what that does to guys? You talk about frustration. No, let go. Let go of that. And let him know he's off the hook. And seek the Lord. And by doing that, you're going to bless him and bring him into a whole nother area of just looking to the Lord too and being blessed of God. Instead of always looking to each other and frustrating each other, there's something there. Once you go to him, you begin to enjoy your marriage. And not until.
You're studying the first marriage today here on Sound Doctrine, part of Pastor Jeff Johnson's new study in Genesis. He'll be right back with more. Well, as we close things out, I would like to mention that these studies in Genesis are available online at sounddoctrineradio.org. You can also request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can listen to Sound Doctrine podcasts on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google. We'd like to pause at this time and say how thankful we are to the Lord for you, our listeners. You know, we simply couldn't do what we do without the financial support and faithful support of God's people and God's provision. Pastor Jeff is the author of many books, as you probably know, and one of them is Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale. Let me ask you, would you say you're running from God or to God? You know, that's really the question you'll be asked to consider in this book as you journey through Jonah with Pastor Jeff. You'll observe God's mercy and compassion poured out on both Jonah and the Ninevites. You see, God longs to bless each and every one of us, and he also desires that we share his love with those that don't know him. Jonah would learn that the hard way. Order a copy of Jonah, More Than a Whale Tale, when you call 800-353-7553 or visit us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. The cost is just $5, so you might want to order more than one to give away. In radio, it's not always easy to identify who's listening and being blessed by the ministry, but that is where you can help us. Email us today and let us know the station you listen to, and if you appreciate the teaching you're receiving through Sound Doctrine. Our email address is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Well, back to Genesis chapter 2 now for the rest of Jeff's message.
Notice verse 22. He says, "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man." So God brought the woman to the man. It was like his timing, though. He did it in his timing. And of course, the man's response was, "Oy vey," you know? In the Hebrew, maybe it was quach, you know, but he says, "Now this is my bone of my bones, blood of my," and you know, in the English, but in the Hebrew, it's more guttural. It's more, "Wow, God, you really know what I need. This is perfect. She's a blessing." And so the woman came from the man. The woman there, the word woman in the Hebrew is Ish'ah. Ish'ah. The word for the man in the Hebrew is Ish. So he gave her his name, just with an A on it. And that's it. So the handing of the name. So woman was created from the man. And yet sin has corrupted this incredible union, hasn't it?
It most certainly has. We'll talk more about this next time on Sound Doctrine as Pastor Jeff offers more insight about the first marriage. This program is listener-supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey.